Your call is now live.
Awesome. Thanks, Shane. Well, good afternoon, everybody. For some of you, it's morning time. For some of you, it might be in the middle of the night, actually. So good to work with you guys today and excited to report to you some amazing numbers. That even though for many of you it was a short week, you still managed to get your dials in and make some money for yourselves. So let's go ahead and start off with some of those numbers, because, again, many of us that are in this class went to First Step Success in Washington, D.C., which was an amazing success, so many incredible stories, and some amazing people. I feel so very blessed to be able to work with such a committed group of people who are really focused on growing their businesses, their families, their wealth, and paying off debt. In fact, the group that was there paid off $23 million worth of debt, which was a record. That's actually the largest amount reported from any single group. And it was an average of 2.5 years that was paid off, over $15 million in assets. Just incredible consistent growth that has happened with those amazing people. Hey, I just want to let you know that I am in my home right now doing this class, and I am on my bike while I'm talking to you. It's a recumbent bike. Just keep an oxygen flow to my brain, especially post First Steps to Success. So if you end up hearing me breathing heavy, I'm okay. I'm not dying. I have it set super low, and I'm going really slow. I'm just keeping my body moving right now. Also, I wanted to let you know it's my son Micah's birthday today. He turned 19. I don't know if you saw my Facebook post, but I haven't seen him yet. So if he walks, he may walk in here, and I may pause for like 30 seconds to give him a big birthday hug because I haven't seen him yet. So I want to give you those two things. I know I've bonused you more time after the classes, meaning that we've ended at 2:05, 2:10, things like that. So I'm sure you'll be okay if I take 30 seconds to a minute to say hello to my honestly amazing and awesome son, who I cannot believe that came from me, came from my body, and has blessed our lives so very much. All right, so we've got 143 people. In the class reported, the 133 who reported, we had 4,718 dials, 893 conversations, 358 presentations, and the total actions, meaning total closes, are 114. Total income last week, $16,000 between 133 of you. Pretty awesome stuff. A little bit lower than the week, actually a lot of bit lower, about $5,000 lower than the week before. And that happens. I just want you to know that happens. That just happens. You know, you don't, especially when people are traveling and, you know, they worked less or whatever, did a few less actions. Although we had more closes than we had the first week. But for whatever the reason is, it really depends on who's closing. Some of you, your closes result in a $9,000 commission. Others of you will be a $100,000 commission because there's a lot of people in real estate in here, $600 commission. Or just a $10 commission. So it really all depends on your business model and the commission that you're making from the sales that you're bringing in. If I read your name, it means I didn't get your homework, and I'm so impressed. It's such a small list. Really proud of you guys. Really, really proud of you. And I'm also proud of you for those of you who are, you know, this is the first time you've ever done anything like this, and therefore you've never tracked numbers. You know what I mean? So you might be sending in zeros, and I'm proud of you for at least attending, for at least sending that homework assignment in. So those of you that have missed it, if I call your name and you're like, no, dude, I saw the screen that says I have received your homework. So that would be D. Ajayi. Please forgive me in advance if I'm messing up your name, by the way. Kimani Kadmi. Winona Colson, Stephanie Cornelis, Amy Finton, Annie Cunaparetti, Connie Martinez, Yudoka Omenencourt, Cynthia Pena, and Deborah Yeager. If I called your name, it means I did not get your homework, but if you know that you saw the Survey Monkey say, thank you for your survey, we received it. In fact, for some of you, I would be taking a picture of that, screenshotting that, saying, hey, I got it. I've got proof. So it's something on our end. All right. At the end of the last time that we met, we talked about logging your sprouts. We talked about that whole concept of being able to track progress. And I cannot tell you how important it is to track progress. I see people fail because so much of winning and so much of becoming a professional prospector and closer, which can be fun and exciting and exhilarating and a confidence building thing. I see that when the reason why people fail is they fail to track their progress. They fail to actually even see where the progress is. Now, the best analogy that I can give you, I've been saying for years, is I want you to imagine that you're a farmer. You bought a plot of land and you've done all your studying. You've studied the ground, the weather patterns, the, you know, the farmer's almanac. You've talked to other farmers. You've done all your research and you've done your very best to plant the very best crop that you can. And let's say we're going to grow corn. And you hire the best workers, the best equipment, the best non-GMO seed. You plant that seed into the ground with your workers, with all of the best equipment. And you leave for a season. You come back and you take a look at your field. You leave for about a week. You come back. And, you know, you see beautiful, gorgeous soil that you brought in that's rich and warm and has lots of nutrients in it. But what you see across your field is just a whole bunch of tiny little sprouts. And when I mean tiny, they're like an inch long. They're really frail. They're really weak. And all it's going to take is like a spring season like the one we're in right now. I don't know if you've got some strange weather happening in your area, but I feel like I'm living in California right now. It's still cold in Texas, which is strange for us. Last night it was 50 degrees. We had rain all day yesterday. Very strange. And so if you're planting and you're having a weird weather pattern come in, then maybe that little sprout is dying because it's not used to the weather that seems to be happening. Or like yesterday, the major thunderstorms that came through and just flooded out your garden. These things happen. And when you are looking at your field, let's say that you're an unseasoned farmer, you look at the field, you see these sprouts. Some of them have withered. Maybe you're in a place where, man, it's been really scorching hot in April, and that's an unusual thing. So the scorching can cause that sprout to die. Too much water can cause that sprout to die. It almost takes like perfect conditions for the sprout to grow and to grow healthy. Now you look at your field and let's say that you had a day like ours yesterday where it's super cold and just rained all day long and flooded everything out, right? Roads are flooded, everything's flooded. You look at that field and you're like, really? After all of that work and putting up with the people that I had to put up with and all the expense, the money I invested into this, and this is all I get, is a bunch of weak, suck, little, vulnerable sprouts that all it takes is too hot of sun to scorch it, or all it takes is too much water to flood it and kill it. Fooey with this. Nonsense. I'm out of here. You stomp on a few of your sprouts and you abandon your field. Now, you and I both know that a experienced farmer would never do anything like that, right? But here's the truth. The truth is that I see inexperienced amateur prospectors and closers do this all the time. They don't even see what the sprouts are. Therefore, they neglect them. And if you neglect the sprout, it will die. It clearly will die. You're supposed to protect your sprouts. You're supposed to recognize your sprouts. You're supposed to celebrate those sprouts. You've heard before that life and death is in the power of the tongue. This is a very true statement, that life and death gets spoken through what we speak. And if you ignore your sprouts, you're neglecting them, which means you're killing them. But when you speak life and death, so life You recognize those sprouts. You shout from the mountaintops about those sprouts. You really celebrate those sprouts. It is then when these things can grow. So somebody had asked a question like, Danny, what were you afraid of in the beginning when it came to closing? Well, I feared like what everybody else feared. I was afraid of rejection. I was afraid of going broke because I was trying to build a business full time. And when you're trying to do that and like, you know, you only got so much room on your credit cards. And so I just, after every presentation, I was terrified of people saying no and people not getting started and me not being able to close anything, which meant I wasn't going to make anything. And so that's what I feared. And then the question was, like, how did you overcome it? I started to just not care. I started to just go, you know what? I don't care how long it takes. I don't care what I have to do. I'm going to do this and I'm going to get good at this. And I focused on getting better every single week at the small things. And I focused on my attitude not being controlled by somebody's yes or no. That no matter what, I was going to believe in where I was going. And I knew that eventually, through time and practice and repetition, that I would eventually get good at the thing that terrified me. I'd eventually get good and master the thing that had so much control over me. So I literally just gave up the controls and said, I don't care. I don't care how long it takes. I don't care what it takes. I'm going to do this. I don't care what the cost is. I'm going to get good at this. And so that's what switched. When I didn't care about being rejected anymore, I stopped getting rejected. It all of a sudden changed my posture. And so when I'm talking to you about this thing called sprouts, that's one of the things that helped me. So when I look at, wow, you know, so many of you have sprouts and you may not even see them. You might not even recognize them. You might not even be aware of them. But you got to get good. If you're going to win in this game of prospecting and closing, you're going to master this game of prospecting and closing, then you've got to get really good at not only recognizing your own sprouts, but the sprouts of those that are around you, the sprouts of the people that are on your team, and helping to point those sprouts out to them. Because sometimes it's the sprouts that keeps people from quitting. And so what is a sprout? It's proof of what's to come. It's not the fruit yet, but it's proof that fruit is on its way. So it's not the result yet. It's not the full-blown apple tree. It's not the apple itself. But that tiny little sprout is proof that an apple is on its way. So, for example, if you have gotten to this class and you're finally picking up the phone for the first time, that's a sprout. But how you crush your sprout and you say, but I haven't sponsored anyone yet or I haven't sold anything yet, that's crushing your sprout. Let me give you some more examples. That you actually finally have scripted somebody, like you read a script. You hadn't been reading scripts before. You were just kind of fledgling all over the place and totally unduplicatable. No one could follow you. And now you're like reading a script and you're reading a script consistently. That is a sprout. But when you say, well, yeah, but I haven't led anyone to the presentation yet. Well, you just crushed your sprout. The fact that you're reading the script is proof that fruit, money from your labor is on its way. You're just in a different season, a different stage. And everybody is, like all of us are. I'm in different stages in my career as well of things that I'm working on, trying to get better at, trying to simplify some things, you know, less complicated things, making things easier for clients, for us, for everybody. And as you're making improvements, you got to recognize the areas in which are getting lighter, getting easier, and are pointing in the direction that, hey, the big crop is on its way. The big crop is on its way. So each day, I want you to, at night, make a list of your sprouts. And that list would be concerning this class, right? That would be concerning this thing that you're wanting to master. And then in the morning, I want you to make a list, just three. You're just going to make a list of three sprouts. And again, when you bring in what isn't there yet, that's killing and stomping your sprouts. When you focus on the progress, what you focus on is what you're going to get more of. What you feed will flourish. What you neglect will die. I'm going to say it again. What you feed will flourish. What you neglect will die. So this helps to control your mind to seeing what a champion sees. You've got to see progress. or you will not win. You've got to see progress or you will not win. You've got to talk about your progress or you will not get more progress. Whining and complaining about what isn't there yet or what wasn't there before is also killing your sprout. I want you to just give life to the progress that is in front of you. So we're going to practice that right now because this needs to be an ongoing skill set that you develop. Anything that you want to improve in, if you use this concept, I've used it in my marriage, I've used it with my kids, I've used it with our staff, I've used it with prospecting, closing, and presenting, I've used it with coaching, I've used it with people in their marriages. I used it with one of my sons who just had this attitude of like high highs and super low lows and could get so negative and get so mad and so sad. And I had him write sprouts when he was really young, 6, 7, 8 years old, focusing on, and he still does these to this day. He calls them his thankfuls, what he's thankful for, because this helps the mind to be open up to gratitude. I am confident that gratitude is what opens up the vault of blessing and pours it down upon your life. Gratitude. It's like the combination lock. And so speaking gratitude, showing other people gratitude, showing other people where their progress is, focusing on the progress will only bring more progress. Okay? So let's take 5 minutes. And if you would like to share your sprouts, first of all, I want you to write 3 sprouts down, places where you've made improvements. Write these 3 things down. And then I want you to press number 1, and you're going to share your sprouts with us. And I will say, like, you can share 1 sprout each. But again, your homework is going to be that you write them down morning and night. At the end of the week, you're going to send us your 3 greatest sprouts in your homework assignment. So, Shane, if you're ready, I am. If anyone's pressed number 1 so far.
Certainly, we do have quite a few. First up, we have Sammy Clemens. Go ahead.
Hi there.
Hi. Go ahead.
Posting my numbers and getting my team to do the same and helping them to understand why that's important.
Awesome. Good job. So you've been posting your numbers and you had not done that before?
No, I haven't been doing it consistently, and I hadn't really encouraged my team to do it. But since I've started doing this and I went to your first steps and talked about accountability and focusing on relationships, we've been doing it through Marco Polo, and then I did a Google Doc spreadsheet so we can see on a daily basis what everyone's doing. And it has just blossomed and bloomed and been amazing.
Isn't that awesome? That's really, really awesome. So you talk about your numbers of prospecting, presenting, closing, all of that.
All of that, reaching out on Facebook. I'm taking your social
Good
media
job.
Class, but reaching out on
Good
Facebook, LinkedIn.
Yep.
And then how many Good no's? Job. We're celebrating our no's.
Good job.
Yeah,
how that means you're doing
no?
something.
Yes,
yeah, it means you're doing something. Yep.
So we have a no column also. How many no's are you getting? And then how much education are you taking? So every time they listen to the 30-day boot camp by you, they get to add that to it. And what number are you on? So we're celebrating the training
job.
By Ms. Jeannie Johnson too. Yeah.
Good job. That's all amazing, amazing progress and accountability. Keep that going. Protect that. Keep.
Thank you.
That focus, I'm telling you, that's going to result in some amazing things by everybody. And it's professionalizing what you're doing versus this just being a knee-jerk reaction business. It's like a real thing. Can I get your name one more time?
I'm Sandy Clemens. I'm a sapphire.
Hello. I love that you're doing what you're doing. This is awesome. Good job,
Thank
Sandy.
You.
Okay, who's next?
Next up is Daryl Ingeveld. Go ahead.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
One sprout that I've gotten this week is I got a call Tuesday where a guy called me. It was a repeat business and a referral for my contracting business, and I met with the guy today, and it looks like I'm going to get it. Just need to work out some numbers for him and get it back
nice.
And follow up.
That's nice. So you're following up.
Yep.
Which is good. That's very, very good. And repeat business is the best. That's the absolute best. Yeah, that really is. That's amazing. And what are you going to do with that customer as a repeat customer? How are you going to celebrate him and cause him to want to talk about you more than your competitors in your town?
I was hoping to get him like a small gift, but I'm still trying to figure that out.
Well, it would be smart. And have you figured out what his gem is?
A sapphire, no. He's a very soft-spoken guy. I think there's a pearl emerald, possibly.
Okay, have you formed him?
No, not properly.
Okay, Daryl, this is really important, all right? Because, and this is the question, I want you to write it out. I want you to post it in places you're going to see it. What will cause my clients to talk about me to their friends and family? It's not because of the service they're hiring you for. You need to understand that. Because they can get that from anybody. But it's the experience they're going to have with you, Daryl. It's the experience. So the experience you can bring that no other electrician is going to bring is you helping him get what he wants. He wants to feel special and important. He wants to feel honored and set apart. He wants to be spoken to in what matters to him, and you have not found that information out yet.
No.
Okay, so which means that you're acting like every other electrician in your town. So you're not going to get rehired just because you did what you were hired to do. No, your name is going to spread because you do over and above what other people do. So it's time to spend a few minutes getting to know this guy on a more personal level and forming him. And it's a simple phone call. It's like, you know what? I just wanted to tell you, I was thinking about you the other day, and I just wanted to understand, how did you ever come into a need of my services? That's the door opener into the conversation. Oh, you know, we bought a house and it needed this. Oh, really? So are you originally from here? Now you start farming town. How long have you been from the area? What do you like about the area? What do you not like about the area? Are you married? Do you have kids? Find out the names. Do they have dogs? Do they have cats? Do they have cows? Do they have goats, like chickens, whatever. You know, what do you guys like to do for fun in the area? Now get to know who this gem is. What does he do for work? What is his ideal customer that his job is looking for? You understand? And look for avenues of how you can either push business towards him and or now you're getting a general idea that when you walk into, is he a business or is he a home that he hired you for?
He works for somebody else as he's a home for his homeowner. I did some work in another commercial project that he was managing, but on the side for him.
Okay. So you did the work for his home?
I did the work. Well, he was setting up a property for his wife. His wife was starting a business, and they had a new place they were moving into, so I did a bunch of stuff there. Then he hired me.
What was that new business? What was that new business? Have you sent her any customers?
No, I haven't.
Have you become a customer?
No.
So all you've done is take from him.
Right.
You want to give. You want to get out of the taking and receiving business, and you want to get into the giving business. Because he who gives is always going to receive. He who takes is not always going to receive.
Right.
Okay, so do you know what that business was that his wife was setting up?
Yeah, she does psychological counseling, plus she has like other physical therapy, massage therapists, and people in that realm. Like,
do you know of anyone that can use what she does?
Yes, I do myself, so I should head out there.
Right? And so when you tell this client that, man, you know what, I was thinking about the services your wife offers, and I was thinking, I might know a few people that could use her services. Does she have any gift certificates for purchase?
I think
I want
she
you to ask
some...
him this question. Yes, okay. She does have gift certificates. If she does any kind of massage, she has a gift certificate. And okay. So because I might be inclined to perhaps, as a birthday present, have my wife go see her. Or for Mother's Day, okay. Have my wife go see her. Do you understand? I run into a lot of people that probably could use your wife's services. He is building that building for his wife because he loves her. He believes in her business. He is for her business. What is a way to bless that man to make you stand out better than any other electrician that's in your town?
Okay.
Makes sense? Especially for the line of work you do. I say especially for the line of work that you do, there's lots of competition.
Oh, hell yes, especially right now.
There is. Yes. So, therefore, you better stand out. And you better have people get on sale. When they find out, when you customize your experience with them, they can't help themselves. They're going to get on Facebook and talk about you. They can't help themselves. Yes, you understand what I'm saying? They're going to do what I've done with my electrician. Where I got on Facebook, and I've talked about them so many times. Because of the experience he gave me. Versus just being an electrical guy that has no conversation with me, comes in, does the job, and leaves. And I never remember who it is. But John Mayhaw, I will never forget who he is. Because he engaged in a personal conversation. He bailed me out of a situation and then didn't charge me. It was a little tiny thing. It was like something super simple and stupid. Oh, Danny, it's this breaker over here. I'm like, oh, I feel like such an idiot. He's like, oh, girl, don't worry about it. It was super personable. Ask me about my family. Ask me about how we ended up here in Texas. So I won't forget his name. Do you understand? John Mayhall. That's who that is. Versus I had other electricians out here before. I've had AC people out here before. I can never remember who they are. Can never remember their name. Same with the crazy amount of realtors I've dealt with throughout my entire real estate investing career. There's only one that I ever sent a ton of business to. Only one. There was another for a season that I sent business to, meaning up into more recent days. I'm talking about the first 20 years of buying real estate. There's only one out of the San Francisco Bay Area. And why? She got personally engaged with our family. So you got to go beyond just delivering electrical services. You got to form these people. Find out what is so important to them. Find out what makes them tick. You write a thank you card in that direction, and you get a gift in that direction. When you're in that house or in that building, notice what the decor is, what the colors are, you know, and say, hey, wow, I noticed that you like a lot of greens. Is that your favorite color? And they'll say, no, actually, purple is. Oh, really? Awesome. Mental note. Purple's the favorite color. You will notice, do they have a modern motif or Western or eclectic or antiques or, you know what I'm saying? You pay attention to these things, and then you buy a card that fits that. You're like, oh, man, that's so awesome. They really paid attention. That's how your name sticks out, because of the experience you're bringing to them. So one agent in 20 years of doing millions of dollars in deals. Why? Because she sent us gifts that were customized according to who we were. She knew my kid's name. She knew our animal's name. She became a customer of my weight loss program. She came to the barbecues. She engaged with us. So I send her millions of dollars worth of business. There's a 10-year period where we lived in the mountains. Not a single agent, not a freaking single one of them. Every single one of them were like, I would never send anyone to them. Let's just say that. 10 years. Multiple properties. Not a single one of them had good people skills, so I would never refer them. So, I think that gave you some good strategies on how you're going to stand out. I would be following up with the rest of all your customers, because your customers are going somewhere else if they can't remember your name. And so this is, how many customers do you have actually?
Okay, last I checked the books, there was 120 since I've been in business for 3 years, June 1st.
Okay, perfect. That's awesome because it's not an ancient list. It's an older list, but it's not an ancient list. Do you think that there's a good chance that those people have had other electric needs since you did service with them 3 years ago?
You know what? If I was a betting man, I'd say yes.
You don't even have to be a betting man.
Yeah.
So here's what an amateur does to keep their name and face in front of someone. They send them, you know, cards, meaning like their business cards. A business card didn't say anything. I don't remember your face. I don't know who you are. I didn't have an experience with that. When you call those hundred and whatevers and you say, hey, listen, this is Daryl. Don't say your last name. You and I worked together on a project X amount of time ago. You need some electrical work done. We worked on your attic. We worked on this. You know, how are you doing, by the way? Are you still in the same home? Still in the area? But what do? Just start warming them. Just say, listen, I just want to touch base and thank you so much. I'm not so sure if I thanked you that years ago. And if I hadn't, that was rude of me to do. And I apologize for that. And if I have, well, this is another thank you for the trust that you put in us to utilize our services back then. And if you ever need anything moving forward, love to work with you again. And if you don't, you didn't like the service, then by golly, what can I do to fix it?
Okay.
Send a thank you card. Because when you form them on that conversation, I want you to write a card. And again, you're paying attention to their strengths, their interests, their goals, and their needs. It's really perfect. There are several people asking me for a follow-up process. I'm giving it to you now. So the whole point of a follow-up is you're following your shot. Imagine a basketball player, you know, they shoot up the basketball. They know one out of two shots they're going to miss it. So if you follow your shot, even if it's been 3 years or 2 years or a year or 3 months or 6 months or 6 days, right, you can go back to some of those people, re-engage in relationship. Because if you stand out to these people, they've got neighbors and friends. That when those people have electrical needs, you call their neighbor, hey, do you know of anybody that's good, that's an electrician that's good? Yeah, shoot, you need to go to Brighter Day Electric. They're the best. Love these guys. Wait to meet Daryl. He's awesome. That's what I do about John Mayhill. That is exactly what I do. I shout all over Facebook. I brought him in front of 1,000 people at a First Step to Success. When my husband went to build his big old home that he's building right now, guess what? I'm like, honey, there's nobody else to get a bid from. There is nobody. I don't care who the contractor works with. There is nobody we want touching this house besides John. He's like, all right, done. Didn't even consider another bid from anyone else.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's a big house. Big project. Okay, so follow up with those people. You're going to cultivate more deals out of that. Make sure you take really good care of the curtain ones. But again, it's not just electrical services you bring. It's the experience of working with you. So if there's no remembrance of you, you ain't going to get business with them again. So you got to keep your face in front of them by how you treat them, how you pay attention to what matters most to them. And that's when you'll be in John Mayhill's problem right now. They have 50 jobs they're working on.
Nice.
A crew of 12. Yeah. A crew of 12. Okay. Awesome. All right. Who's next?
Next up is Amy Peterson. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Amy. Go for it.
I wasn't sure I would get on. I have been more diligent with my primary job. About being on time and making sure that I'm running much earlier than I have been. And I've been talking and forming way, way more people, and I've actually collected most of my phone numbers.
Nice. Excellent, girl. Proud of you.
Where That's good stuff. before
Don't tell me about before.
Yeah.
Okay. We're not going to resurrect dead sprouts.
Yep. Okay. You've seen my.
We're giving life. Yes, I have. So we're looking at the current sprouts that have been planted and focusing on those. Good job. Okay, I'll take one more.
And that comes from Kimberly Bixby. Go ahead.
Thank you. A couple of days ago, I called a prospect to get on the live call that we do. And for some reason, I just left a general message, called him back today, and the reason he wasn't on that call is his phone wasn't charging and was wondering when I was going to call him back. So he was on today's call, and I'm supposed to close him, of course, after this class. I told him I had a meeting, so I'm calling him back to close him after this.
Nice.
So.
Nice.
Thank you. There you go.
Calling people back. Some people don't do that. All right. Let's go ahead and clear that queue. The most dials again this week was Lane Hamilton with 314. That was cold market. Andrew Casper for lukewarm market with 133. Deborah Tuttle, 156 for warm market. Most conversations would be Lena Parma with 80 for cold market. Lindsay Krause with 35 for lukewarm market. And Nanette Powell, 69 conversations for warm market. That's amazing. That's just crazy amazing. Love it. Most brought to, again, these are the number one people in each category for the class. Lena Parma with cold market, 25 presentations. Sandy Clemens with lukewarm with 13. And Ava Weib with 4 for warm market. We have most enrolled, Lena Parma with 15. Jada Scott, lukewarm market with 4. Ava Weib with 3. That's warm market again. Most clients, Lane Hamilton with 5 cold market clients. Sandy Clemens with 9. That's lukewarm. And warm market, Laura Ann LaRoche with 6 new customers. All right. First person I am going to work with today is going to be Lena Parma, because I have some questions for her. So, Lena Parma, please press number 1.
Her line is open.
Hi, Lena.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Wow, beautiful.
Hi.
Hi. Okay. So, Lena, I have great job. I've got 28 hours, 245 dials, which is kind of low, but you had 80 conversations, 25 presentations. Can you tell me how you're doing that presentation? Is the presentation on the web? Or is it face-to-face, one group presentation? What is it?
So I run a recruitment company, so my presentations are actually on the phone where I'm actually presenting the opportunity. So it's on the phone.
Okay. Okay, cool. All right, so then I have 15 people that were enrolled but no income. Please explain.
Okay, so my income is derived once a candidate starts a job. Yeah,
gotcha.
Exactly. So
gotcha.
There's closes, but no income yet because they haven't started the job yet. So I don't
gotcha.
Know. I don't know if it's a close or not, or is it a close when they've got the job? So that would be a good question for you, actually.
Yeah. Okay. So what you're doing is you're recruiting people that you'll now have in your database. That when a company needs to hire someone, then you're placing those people. Correct.
No. So the closes are people who are interested in that job and they are now in the process of being interviewed and hired for a particular job, not just a database.
Okay. So when do you actually get paid is when your transaction is complete?
Correct. Yes.
So when that would be the numbers you would be reporting?
Okay, so when somebody starts a job.
Well, because that's, you've successfully done the process, you know what I mean? So,
okay. In
other words, you are fishing, if you will, in a huge pond looking for people who are looking for employment, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So, or are you fishing in the pond of employers who are looking for employees?
So the last class I did was for the employers. This class I'm doing, I'm focusing on the employees.
Okay, cool. Which one is more profitable?
clients because they their average transaction value is higher. Yes.
Exactly. So I would kind of keep your focus there, wouldn't you? Tell me why you're doing it the other way around.
Because I wanted to upskill in all areas and to make sure that I'm using the right script. So when I did the last prospecting and closing class, I focused on clients. And this time I thought I should focus on employees so I can make sure that I'm using the right scripts and closing scripts for that sector.
Right. So while you're focusing on the employee side, because I think it's easier to get employees, isn't that, for the employer? Or which one is more difficult?
Yeah. I would say clients is more difficult, so the employer is more difficult,
Yeah, because the more clients that you have, then there's a guarantee of something being placed. You could end up with too many people looking for a job and not enough clients to send them to.
Yeah, exactly. And when I've got a client, I tend to have them on the books for a good 5 years. So it's repeat business there.
It's awesome. Wish you were here. I need you really bad. I need you really bad.
I'm more than
happy
to help you. Tell me about your needs, Donny.
We are desperate. We are desperate for employees in our marketing department, and we are desperate for some salespeople.
Okay, tell me about your sales.
I'll let you talk to Tony at our office. We are desperate for those people. Our salespeople can make a six-figure income easily if they're highly skilled. Okay, well, awesome. All right, so to me, what I would be looking at is the placement of that person. That's what I would be tracking as, because you're doing that initial. In other words, you've got a multi-step process. So you have the process of interviewing them and weeding them out, but then it's about placing them with the right employer. And so what I would count, that is your sale that's done. You know what I mean? Because that person that you're interviewing doesn't pay you to place them. The employer pays you. And so so that would be the numbers that I'd be looking at. And so that also may increase your ability to not waste time with the wrong people.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That you're looking for the perfect match. So you're going to weed people out faster versus getting excited that I enrolled 15 people, but nothing was made. So I would be focused. That means I'd be more of a sharpshooter in that if you're going to focus on the employee side, you literally are interviewing for that direct hit.
Yeah.
You're going to waste less time with some talkers and really get some direct hits where it's like, I got one. You need to talk to this guy. Today is today good for you because I've got the person for you.
Okay.
So you still would have more of a focus of the deal getting done versus adding a lot of people to your list of prospects, honestly, because they're still just prospects until the deal's done.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. Yeah.
So that's how I would track. That's how I would track those numbers for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you want, you can talk to Butch McCracken, Brian Niederhouse, or Tony Gray, because we need help. Yeah. Anyway. All right. That's awesome. Cool. So that's what I wanted to ask you. Because all in all, 80 conversations, 25 presentations. You want to work on this script? You want to see where there's some room for improvement?
Yeah, absolutely. So the question that I have in terms of closing is when we talk to our candidates and they apply for a particular job, we talk to them about that job and others available in the area also. We present the jobs and then we do a telephone screening. So in our vocabulary here, the close there and then. So is that the right way to do it? Or would you recommend doing the close after a follow-up? So with some candidates, we send them the job description and then follow up with them, just like you would do in home business. With some candidates, they want to know about the job there and then. So we present the job and we do the telephone screening all on the same call. So we present, we follow up and close on the same call. Is that good to do? Is that not good to do?
Well, I mean, if you had 80 conversations and 15 is what came out of it. Number one, I would venture to say that I would not allow the prospect to direct you. Because what that shows you right away, that if they're trying to direct you, is that really a good candidate?
Okay.
So what I'm hearing you say is you kind of bend at whatever the whim of the person on the other end of the phone wants.
So we do the prospecting. So when I do the close bit, so we present the opportunity and then I say, so what did you like most about what you've just heard?
Yep.
Tell me more about that. Do you want to make a little or a lot? What for? And so what your current job? How long will it take you to be able to do X, Y, Z? Great. So do you want to move fast on this or slow? And if they say fast, I'll say, right, great. Just a few more questions. We'll get your details across to our client, and we'll get an interview date for you within the next 24 hours.
Nice. So I guess my question is how good are you at weeding out the wrong prospect to deliver the correct hit for your client?
Good question. Probably not great.
Then I will tell you something.
Okay.
Then your focus is not in the right place. You're
okay.
Causing your client to do more work
mm-hmm.
than they need to.
Okay.
And I will tell you from my perspective, and we've interviewed thousands of people, right? And if there can be somebody that can take that heavy lifting off of us, truly the heavy lifting, versus giving us 10 candidates that 9 of which were not any good.
Mm-hmm.
If those 9 could be weeded out and I'm just getting the cherry pick ones.
Yeah.
So that means that your focus is more on getting the possible employee that's a prospect to say, yes, I want to work with you, but you're not really vetting that person out thoroughly.
Okay.
To see if it's a real win for your client.
Okay.
So your job as a placement person is to save your client time,
mm-hmm.
money, hassle, stress, and helping to deliver to them the absolute best team player that is necessary. I want you to read a book called The Ideal Team Player.
I'm looking at it right now.
Awesome. That's awesome. And listen to it on Audible. It's a great listen for sure. But that's really what you want to be keeping in mind, because every employer wants that kind of employee. Everybody does.
Okay.
No one likes to work with a jackass. No one wants to work with a jerk.
Okay.
So I would venture more about looking to weed people out versus weeding them in. So certainly do not, and by the way, your number's telling me on the other side that, yeah, that's probably not really good over there, then that tells me that you're taking just about anybody versus really doing an interview. You're doing a sales pitch versus a real interview.
Okay.
You should have people beating down the doors to want to work with you guys on both sides.
Okay.
And that's going to be based on the wins that you bring to a company for both parties. It's a win for that employee. It's a win for that company.
Okay.
So it's awesome that you've had people on the books for 5 years, but how many out of all the many? You know what I mean? Out of all the clients that you've had.
Mm-hmm. What's that? Sorry, what's the question?
Like? Just out of all, okay, so you said you have some that have been on the books for 5 years. They've been using your services for 5 years, right?
Yeah.
Well, how many clients does it take to get one to be with you for that long? Where's all the other ones that came and left 5 years ago?
Yeah. So I did those calculations today, actually. So we've had 42 clients since I've been in business since 2009, and we are currently active clients. We have 15.
Okay. Cool. All right. Not bad. It's not great, but it's not bad.
Okay.
It's 2009. That's 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
15. Have you called the other, was it 30? How many clients, 42 you said that you had?
42, yeah. So yeah. 27. Yeah.
27. Have you called the other 27?
Some are out of business.
Yeah. So you want to look at that. How many are out of business?
Yeah.
How many are still in business? Why are they not using you? Why are they not growing?
Yeah. Okay.
Because we know there's attrition in all businesses.
Yeah.
We know there's attrition. So if it was a win for them to use you, they'd still be using you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? They would never want to go back to running ads themselves and doing interviews themselves.
Yeah.
So when something goes wrong with someone that you placed, you want to find out what went wrong so you can learn from it.
Yeah. So how do I close a client? So I lost a big client who we were doing a great job for. We earned a lot of money from them. But they rang me and said, we have to stop using you because we've now achieved our target with your services. So you've done such a great job that we have to stop using you. Or was that an excuse? How do I overcome or close that client?
I would stay in touch because that's right now. So then here would be, so that's awesome that you hit your target. So what's your target for next quarter?
Okay.
What's your target for the following quarter?
Yeah.
What are your objectives for 2018? So it's, again, you don't know what their company goals are. Do you know what their mission is? Do you know where they're headed? Do you know who their ideal customer is? Have you sent them customers? You're not in bed with these guys, as they say. You need to get in bed with them. That's a business term. I don't really mean, like, you know, I don't mean I want you sleeping with these
people. I know.
What I need you to do is really, really understand their business, their model, their culture.
Yeah.
And then, you know, even asking, so what's your attrition like? Tell me who you ask to leave and who you lose. So even though we hit the targets, I'm still going to be recruiting on your behalf because we both know that you've got attrition.
Yeah.
And I'm still going to keep my ears out for who your best clients and employees will be.
Okay.
Cool.
Thank you.
So again, if it's really about helping the companies to win, then that means you would know these companies inside and out.
Yeah.
Do you?
The ones that I'm working with now, I would say I'm in bed, quote marks, with a third of them.
Okay.
So I've got
not enough.
To do.
You've got work to do. For sure.
Got work to do.
And again, you should know what their targets are. You should know where they're going. You should know what their growth is. You should know what their ideal customer is. What will set you apart? The same question I asked Daryl. Same question. What? Come on. You have a lot of competition, do you not?
A lot.
A ton. So what sets you apart better than everybody else?
Yeah.
What's going to make it that they cannot build their business without you? What's going to make it that they're not going to seek out other people?
Yeah.
What do you bring to the table that the other competitors do not?
Yeah. That's so good.
Are you rooting for their brand? Are you posting about their brand? Are you letting them know, sending them screenshots that you're celebrating their brand on social media? Have you seen my ears through the team? Yes! Why not? It's free advertising for them. Of course you can.
Okay.
Just met with ABC Company, got a ton. I love these people. They're amazing. They are bam, 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 bam. If you're ever looking to purchase X, Y, and Z, this is the only place to get it from.
So that's inviting my competitors to go after my clients.
What do you mean that's inviting? You're saying your competitors are on your social media page?
Probably. I don't know.
And they are not, number one. Number two, guess what? Your competitors are already calling your clients. What are you talking about, honey?
True.
They already are trying to date them. They're already having cocktails with them. What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
They're already doing it. But what's going to set you apart? Those other things are just placement services. You could give a rip about the business. How will you show that you care and are bought into that brand?
Okay. Thank you. So good. So great.
So huge. So much of closing is the follow-up process. It's how we show our commitment to our prospects and their vision, what's important to them, what matters to them. And it's not only, Lena, the business, but what do you know about these people on a personal basis?
Yeah.
Do you know how many kids they have, what their animal is, what they like to do for fun on the weekends, where their last vacation was, what their favorite food is, their favorite wine?
Yeah.
Especially in London. Their favorite place to eat. Do you know these things? Their favorite color. This is the always be closing category. These are the things that bring honor, respect, making them feel special, set apart, important, different. That's what makes you set apart. So it's not only caring about the business, but it's caring what is promoting the business from the back end, which is the family.
Yeah.
Did someone on the staff have a baby? Did anyone send them a little blanket, a card, a gift?
Yeah.
Get to know the culture of each one of those businesses. Be committed to that culture.
Yeah.
So even that company that said, you know, we don't need you anymore, girlfriend, hey, Bob, just let you know, I just talked to somebody that has X, Y, and Z. Should I give them to your competitor or would you like them?
Yes.
I want to give you a heads up. So-and-so's on the market right now. Don't need know if you have a need for anyone with these kind of skills.
Yeah.
And by the way, when people say that, they're lying to you. That's their nice way of saying, I like you, I'm afraid of hurting your feelings, but I'm already working with one of your competitors.
Mm. Okay.
Makes sense?
I'm on it. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good stuff. You are so welcome. So welcome. Okay, Shane, let's add her to the class, and can I have Nanette Powell? Nanette Powell, press number one and say hello.
Nanette, your line is open.
Hi, Danny.
Hi, how are you?
I'm scared to death.
Girl, I don't fight until 2 o'clock, so we're okay.
You know what? It's 1:59 my time right now, so you're close.
It's 3 o'clock your time is when I start biting.
Okay, good. I'm safe.
You're so safe. We got a whole hour. All right, okay. So we got 5 hours of effort towards your business, and you got 69 dials. Good job. We have 69 conversations, 31 presentations.
And so, can I explain all this to you? Because
I am
so new to this, and I'm trying to get the lingo down. And when I first started the questionnaire, I told you that most of mine would be one market. But the reason that my numbers are like this, last week I did an event for the city of Palm Bay. I was invited to do a wellness event for their employees. And so
I have
no problem at all talking to people face-to-face, and I absolutely love it, and I thrive in that environment. But when I was doing the homework part, I looked at it and I thought, it says dialed. There's no other option here.
Sure.
So
okay.
So, but that's what it was. There were, I actually talked to more than 69 people, but there were 150 that signed up and asked to be notified about a class that I give online. And then, and so out of those, 69 opted in when I sent them the invitation to join the class. And so the problem, and I'm not, I'm sorry, 69 asked to be in the class and then 31 opted in. And so.
So 69, so you talked to 150. Out of 150, 69 said they wanted information on the class and 31 actually opted in to the link that you sent them in an email.
Yes, correct. And so.
Okay, cool.
So now, but here's the problem with this. You know, they opt into a class and now it's an automated class. Like every 3 days they get something in their email. I have no control over this and I have to sit here and twiddle my thumbs and wait. And
no,
so,
you don't. So here's what you
need
to change.
What do I do?
Well, first of all, look, you were in front of 150 qualified prospects, correct?
Right.
The issue is, how do you get their phone number?
You know, that was part of what they were to fill out, and I tried to direct most of them. I kept saying, you know, fill this out for me, make sure you give me your phone number in case I put your email address in wrong or whatever. I need
Good
to get
job.
Hold of you. And a lot of them did, but
how many phone numbers
most
do you
of
have?
Them didn't. I have 17 phone numbers.
Hmm. Okay, so that's all right. I mean, 150, you got 17 phone numbers. When you get the phone number, that's a real lead. That's a real lead. That's a good prospect right there. When you got a phone number after someone has attended your class like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, we have thousands of people who opt in every month on our website. But unless we get a phone number, they're not even considered a lead for us. Okay.
Okay.
So what we qualify a lead as is they gave us their phone number, which means that they bought something, whether it was they paid for the shipping on the free book or they bought something. Now, that's a lead for us. That's when we can actually start our conversation with them. So in your case, like you said, I'm sitting here, I'm twiddling my thumbs. So then rather than twiddling your thumbs, it's those 17 people that gave you their phone number. And just calling them and thanking them for coming.
Okay.
And what did they like about what they saw in the class?
I did start
doing
that.
Form them.
Okay.
You got to form them right away.
The dumb thing that I did. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You got to form them as soon as you get on the phone with them because now you're building a rapport with them because you don't have a rapport with them yet. They saw you. They heard some interesting things. They wanted more information. Now when you get on the phone, it's important to form.
Okay.
So to be honest with you, that now is a prospect.
Okay.
So you're saying from your process, you gave a short, you know, you exposed your opportunity, your product, really, to 150 people. 69 raised their hands and said, I want more information.
Yes.
17 actually gave their phone number.
Right.
And by the way, you had a great way to get the phone number with saying, hey, leave your number just in case something happens with the email. I want to make sure that I am able to confirm that email address with you. Awesome.
Okay.
Great lead-in for that. You did fabulous. So
okay.
17 gave their phone number. 31 went to your presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And one bought something.
Well, that's not – that one didn't come from them.
Gotcha.
It didn't.
Gotcha.
That was a separate –
All right, so you got
call.
A zero. You got a goose egg
right.
on that process. Yep. Let me tell you why. Okay, so first of all, let me tell you why. So anytime you're going to do something automated, you got to deal with the thousands, not tens. Okay, so what works with email marketing – what works with email campaigns, what works with online marketing is not dealing with the tens, as in 30 people, 30 times 10. We're talking deal with the thousands.
And it's actually not thousands, it's hundreds of thousands. So when you hear about people doing email campaigns, they're not talking about 10 emails they sent. They're talking about tens of thousands of emails that they've sent.
Right.
To who? Tens of thousands of people. So people get deceived when they look online and they hear about all this online marketing, and now they're looking, oh, boy, that's going to be easy. Oh, it's awesome in theory, but if you're not sending, if you're sending one email to 500,000 people, you might get a 0.001% return. So if you're only sending 31 or 69 emails and the return is 0.01%, should you have gotten a close? Nope.
So in your opinion, I know what you're going to say. I think I do. But I feel like this is, social media is kind of a waste of time for me. I prefer to be on the phone and just talk to
them. Nanette, I want to come where you're at, and I want to hug you so hard right now. I want to lift you up. I want to put diamonds all over you, because that is music to my ears, okay?
The whole point is
social media. No, it really is. A lot of people waste a lot of time, and they feel like they're busy. They're telling themselves they're on social media for business, but you don't know until you see the results, right? And so social media can be very consuming. It has to be a strategic, there has to be a strategic plan. There has to be a well-oiled machine to go along with it. And so the best thing that social media could be used for is to capture some bees around the honeycomb. And that's about it. And so people are not on social media to buy anything, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But what you can do is stir up conversation in social media that causes interest to come. You build friends, little here and there, but just get on the phone with people as quickly as possible. Because I'm going to tell you something. I just did a show on this. We recorded 8 shows yesterday. And it's about automation. And the world is going in the form of automation, and they're going to robotics, whether we like it or not. And the statistics are, you know, 800 million jobs are going to be lost by 2030. That's in 12 years. Now, some people think, oh, it's just a bunch of hype. It's just people trying to scare people. I'm so sorry. I don't know what the number is, if it's going to be 800 million and it's by 2030. But I guarantee you this, it's going to be hundreds of millions of jobs lost. We've already lost tens of millions of jobs because of automation and because of robotics. And it's only going to intensify, which creates opportunity to those who possess great level of people skills, communication skills, and presentation skills. Because what this automation does is create a need in people for personal touch, for high-end service, for real live communication. All this automation is fun, but it's dead. It's dead. So it creates a need in every human. It is. It creates a need. It creates loneliness. Automation creates loneliness. So when a human has loneliness, there's only one answer to that. Human connection. So what you guys are learning to do in here is so powerful. These things I just finished talking about to the electrician and the placement agency, so powerful. Because the more and more automated things get, the more and more robotics are taking over human jobs. And why is automation taking over human jobs? And why is robotics taking over human jobs? Because the humans suck at dealing with people. Because the humans are frustrating people. Because the humans are screwing up the human connection part. So the humans are losing the customer. The humans are causing the employees to leave. Employees don't leave a job because of the job. They leave it because of the other employees, the work environment that they're working in, who they're working with. And very rarely it's because that person's in the wrong place. But if they're in the right environment, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They're loyal to the brand. They're loyal to the people.
Mm-hmm.
So this automation, what you're trying to do, right? You tried to automate this whole thing. Is what you tried to do.
I thought it would be easy. It's a perfect situation. I hate it. I don't like it at all. I waste too much time. I go back and look and, okay, did anybody send me a message or a question? Maybe I should send them an email and ask them how they're doing or whatever. And
okay, just even look at that. Just even look at that. Email. Do you like email?
No, I don't. No. It's cluttered my inbox.
Exactly. Nobody else does either. So why would you send an automated email? Why would you send an email if people hate email?
I know.
Just think about that. So you have to start thinking in terms of what does the prospect want? They don't want their email crowded. They don't want that. They got problems. They need solutions. They want to feel special. They want to feel important. They want to feel set apart. And email doesn't do that to people.
No. And, you know, the thing for me, I do a lot of, like, analyzing myself, why do I do things the way I do, and try to change them and improve them. And the thought of getting on the phone just terrified me, and I thought, oh, this is an easy way to do it.
Yes.
I'm in front of all these people. This will be great. I can get them all at one time. And so I was thinking about this all of last week, and I thought, what a big mistake I made. I could have done something differently to get their phone numbers and to get them on the phone. And I realized that it's not so much that I'm afraid of talking to these people, because at the end of the day, if they say no or they hang up on me or whatever or yell at me or whatever, it doesn't matter. I'm never going to see them again. They don't know who I am, most of them.
Okay, but hold on. Can we look at the reality? Are people really going to hang up on you and yell at you on the phone?
Yeah, like, people do that.
Okay, hold on. One out of how many?
Well, yesterday I made about 20 calls.
I'm saying how many calls you've ever made in your entire life. Let's get 100 calls. How many yell at you out of 100 calls?
Well, let's see, maybe 5.
Okay, first of all, I'd be looking at why you're getting yelled at. But 5 out of 100?
They're like, I never signed up to get any information. Stop calling me. And so I'm like, okay, bye. Click.
They don't know you. They don't know what you do. They don't exactly.
It's them.
No one likes to be yelled at. Okay, hold on. No one likes to be yelled at. Exactly. It is them. That goes to show you how rude something's going on in their life. Something painful has happened. They've had a bad experience with somebody else. It is not you that they're yelling at. They're yelling at their life. They're yelling at the perception of who they might think that you are and why you are calling. So if it's 5 out of 100, that's nothing. Big deal. Big deal. So, and I don't know who these people are that you're calling, but obviously someone has opted into something and you've got their phone number. It's a cold lead. You're calling that person back. You obviously, perhaps, sound like a telemarketer, which is why they're hanging up on you.
Nice.
Not being personable, like a friend, like we've been talking about in the prospecting class.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you can get to the point where no one hangs up on you based on how you enter that conversation, which is what we talk about and focus on in the prospecting class. Okay? All right.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. Stop wasting time. What could you have done different to get phone numbers at that? What an amazing thing. I'd be looking for more opportunities like that, by the way. Could be doing a lots of companies are willing to do that, by the way. It's an extra added little bonus that they offer their employees, a wellness class. So let me ask you a question. What could you have done differently to get phone numbers from that wellness class?
I think what I could have done was maybe to have someone with me, because people were asked, they wanted to talk to me, and they were asking me questions. I was not allowed to present the business opportunity or to show
product. You should never.
It was,
okay, you should create. Let me ask you, hold on. You didn't answer my question, Nanette. What could you have done differently to get people's phone numbers?
I think what I could have done differently is have someone else with me. And as people were signing up.
No. You could have done a giveaway. You could have done a drawing. The giveaway could have been a free report on figure out reducing your stress. It could have been a package of items to pamper yourself, improve your health, and reduce your stress. You have to think in terms of what do those 150 people want? Why are they in this wellness class? That would have been a survey to have them fill out. Why did you come here today? What are your most important needs you have for wellness? What are your biggest concerns about your health and your long-term health? Do you have pain in your body? Do you suffer from heartache, headaches, foot aches, hip and joints issues? Again, you're forming your prospect through a piece of paper. Short, tiny little survey. It could be boxes that get checked. Yeah. Boxes that could be checked. Takes them 2 minutes. Their phone number, their email address, and their name. When you see those surveys, now you're going to talk about those things, and now you're going to give a giveaway. The giveaway is going to include whatever what you know to be the most important pain points that they have.
That's awesome.
If you fill out the survey, today's class is going to be about these things. Fill this out. We're doing a giveaway. The giveaway is going to be centered around SAM.
Okay. All right. Next one that's coming up, that's what I'll do.
That's awesome. And the whole key is to get that phone number. Okay? The whole key is to get that phone number, get on the phone with them, script them, use form, find their sign, lead them to your website or whatever the presentation is, the webinar that you do, and then use the close. All right, I got to move on, Nanette. Super helpful.
Thank you so much.
I know there's a lot of people from your company that are on this class, and I know that helped to simplify some things for them because so many of them are just totally dependent on using technology. That technology, is it really working?
No.
If you're going to use technology, you're going to have to use a lot of numbers, a lot of numbers in order to make it work. Okay, next person is Elaine Lawrence. You're welcome, love. Elaine Lawrence.
Elaine,
hi, Danny, how are you? Oh, perfect. Hi. Okay.
Hi.
I got 10 hours a week, 80 dials, 20 conversations, 12 people through a presentation. You closed one. The dials are a little low for the amount of hours that you put in. You should be around 250, something like that. But 20 conversations is good, but what this tells me is that you're talking a lot on the phone. How long is each one of those calls, love?
Pretty quick, actually. We have a drip campaign, and most of them are stating that they didn't opt in for it.
So I guess the drip campaign isn't doing too well, isn't it?
Either that or I'm sounding like a telemarketer.
Have you recorded yourself to see if you sound like a telemarketer?
I have not.
You should. Okay, so with 20 conversations, how many people did you read the script to? And these are cold market or lukewarm market?
Lukewarm, I guess.
What does that mean? Lukewarm is people that you've met?
Oh, I'm sorry. Then it's cold. It's cold.
Okay. So those are cold market leads. You dialed 80, got a hold of 20.
Correct.
Okay. That's awesome. If you dialed 100, the standard is you get a hold of 5. Right? So the fact that you got a hold of 20 out of 80 is amazing. It's really awesome.
Thank you.
But you're saying, how many of them are saying that they did not opt in?
Most of them.
Can you give me a number? You want to track what people are saying so you know what you need to improve. Is most of them 18 out of 20? Well, no, obviously not. You had 12 go to a presentation.
Right.
So what 12
right.
went to a presentation? So it's not most of them. If you had 12 go to a presentation.
Well, what I'm doing is, even if ones that didn't answer the phone, I will text them and just say, you know, this is Elaine. I'm responding to your
inquiry of, you know, whatever the jerk campaign was. I'll try them again. If I don't get an answer, then I send them a presentation.
So you don't know if they start a presentation?
Correct.
Okay. So you don't know if you had 12 go to a presentation?
Exactly. That's right. I sent presentations.
Okay. So, all right. So you enrolled one. Is one of those from the 12?
It is not.
Okay.
From a follow-up from the previous week.
I gotcha. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you know that you are texting a perfect stranger that you know nothing about your private cell phone number?
Okay. Yeah, you're correct.
What do you think about that?
It's probably not a good idea.
I wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the result of it anyway? Let me ask you. Let's go on the other side. You're getting a random text from a perfect stranger who then sends you a link to a presentation you don't care about and didn't ask for. What's going to be your response?
Normally, I just delete it.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you think's going on with the person you're texting?
Yeah, I only received a response from two people.
How many have you sent that text to?
The majority of those ones that are represented as presentations.
12? You received a response
Correct.
From two, and what was the response?
One was in Spanish. So...
You have no idea what she said.
I have no idea what she said. I tried to translate it. It didn't sound pretty good.
Okay, and the other person?
And the other one just said yes, that they received it.
And then?
I just got that response, so I haven't followed up with them to see if they watched it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. Sounds to me like there's a lot of chasing going on.
I'll agree.
And that's exhausting. It's really exhausting. All right, the one that you closed that was a follow-up mm-hmm. from last week. Good job, girl, for following up
Thank
on
you.
Someone from last week. Really proud of you. Where did that Thank person you. Originate from?
I met him at a kids' fair. He has a soccer
That
camp.
Was a lukewarm. Okay, that was a lukewarm market. Mm-hmm. Good. That's a lukewarm. You just met him.
I just right? met him. Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. So you met him and then did what?
I called him right away from his business card. I formed him at the event and found out what his needs were and uh-huh. Gave him a call, presented to him. He agreed to join, but then kind of hesitated. And so I called him back and left him a message, and I gave to him what his why was. His why was getting more energy and getting more out of his day. So I said to him, I really look forward to getting started, because he said he would get started. I really look forward to getting started, and I look forward to that day when you tell me that you have more energy at the end of the day. So with that, he called me up and said, I really appreciate your follow-up skills, and I'm ready to get going.
Nice.
Yeah, that was very nice.
Yes, because he focused on what he wanted, and that works.
Yeah, thank you for that. I heard that from one of your one of your CDs.
It works. Good job using it. Okay, cool. So what I'm going to say is it sounds like there's a lot of begging going on, and you're just not that kind of person that needs to beg somebody. You've got a great business you're in. You don't need to be chasing people. chasing people is begging people. And you don't need to be doing that. So when you call somebody, let's do this. I want you to get your dials up for next week. And let's work with you for your prospecting, because your prospecting is the main issue that needs to be worked out. You don't, there's not enough people who went to a presentation. And so let me give you this too. So when we are, again, this is an automation issue, right? So it's like you're buying leads. Those are cold leads. When we're talking about leads, you got to deal with the thousands, not the tens. So the tens is 80 dials.
Okay.
If you want to make money using cold market, you got to go to the thousands. You got to get your mind out of the little tiny effort if you want to do cold leads. Your numbers are never, ever going to be as good with cold market as they will with Luke and warm market. So lukewarm, you can deal with the tens and hundreds. Warm market, you can deal with the hundreds and the tens also. The cold market requires thousands of dials.
Okay.
Okay? Because there's no trust with cold market. And with cold market, you get bad phone numbers. You get not the best of prospects. You get people who are looking for a lottery, you know, people who want to be. And especially it's on how people advertise for it. It cracks me up all the time. People advertise things like, get started working from home now. 5 to 10 hours a week, make $3,000 a week, and you don't have to do anything. And then people respond to those ads. And guess who responds to those ads? Someone who doesn't want to do anything. Someone who wants to work really, really part-time, and they don't want to do anything when they're working, but they really want to make a lot of money. So therefore, that's the prospect. That's the quality of prospect they get based on what the ad says.
Okay.
And the lead vendor doesn't care. The lead vendor gets paid for giving you names and phone numbers. The lead vendor doesn't get paid for giving you qualified, quality leads of hardworking, talented, committed people. No. It's Joe Schmo who's still on every government-assisted program that exists, sitting on his tush, watching TV all day long, on the internet, answering a bunch of different ads, showing up to one job interview every week to say he did it so he can stay on unemployment.
Wow.
Why? Because that's who the lead vendors generally are fishing for. Because they're the easiest ones to get to respond. You want something for nothing? Here you go. Here's a business opportunity. You don't have to do anything. Everything's automated. Join now. And then that's the people you get to talk to are the ones who don't want to do anything. They'll join and do nothing. Okay, so if you're going to work cold leads, you're going to have to up your numbers crazily.
Okay.
Adjust your expectations. So if you look back the week before when you presented to that lukewarm market person, how many lukewarm market people did you present to in that same period of time?
Less. I know it's less. Let me see. Maybe like 16. I'm not great on dials and I need to get better.
No, I'm talking about how many presentations did you, how many people did you do a presentation for lukewarm market people? I want to show you
the
fact.
The previous week?
Yeah.
Oh, I did 5.
You did 5 lukewarm market presentations where you were in front of 5 lukewarm market people?
No, I sent to them a presentation and followed up with them over the phone.
Okay, cool. And so you had a conversation with 5 lukewarm market people?
Yes.
Okay, and you sent them a presentation and you followed up with them. How many of them were there for your follow-up?
Three.
So you know that three actually saw the presentation, correct?
Correct.
And you closed one?
Correct.
Look at your numbers. You have a 33% closing ratio with lukewarm market. Where does it seem to make a lot of sense to be focusing your efforts?
Lukewarm market.
This is what I'm going to say to you. You will make mm-hmm. more money with warm market and lukewarm market, and you'll do it faster than you ever will with cold market.
Okay.
You got to be tough as nails if you're going to work cold market.
I'm not yet.
You'll get tough as nails the more cold market dials you do. You will. You'll get tough as nails. But you'll get tough as nails the more cold market that you do. You will. It comes with the territory. But
thank
it's
you.
A slow bleed out to slow death if it's 80 dials a week of cold market. It's slow.
Yeah.
But if it's warm market and lukewarm market, you'll make more money faster with less time and effort. You did 20. You had 20 conversations with cold market last week. Sent 12 presentations. No one looked at it. Closed nobody.
Yes.
Lukewarm market last week. 5 people you sent a presentation to. 3 were there for the follow-up. 1 closed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So get your numbers up for the next 3 days, and you send them in on Sunday. I'll work with you in the prospecting process next week. Okay?
Thank you, Dan.
All right.
Thank
God bless you. I got Susan Yoder is next. Susan Yoder. Press number 1 and say hello, please.
Your line is open, Susan.
Okay,
hang on a second.
Susan.
I think she's calling.
Yes, Susan? Hello, Susan. Is that Kate on? Girl, I just heard you.
Susan?
Hi.
My name is Susan.
Yoder?
Yes, ma'am.
How are you? This is Danny.
I am fabulous. How are you doing today? I have been absolutely blown away by this call this morning already, or this afternoon.
Really?
I have. It is exactly what I've been working on now that I finally got my act together and have been trying to implement everything that I've been taught to try to apply it. Yes, absolutely.
Good. That's awesome. Okay, Susan, let's look at some numbers, and then I want to see what I can do to help you. Real estate's real near and dear close to my heart, so I love that you're a real estate broker. It's really near and dear and close to my heart because I have watched so many brokers and agents leave so much money on the table. And I love that we, in these last three classes that I've done, we've had a lot of people from real estate in it. And so I'm loving seeing the surge of people at First Steps and creating a dynasty that are realtors, because you guys actually make a huge difference in the economy. Whether or not an agent can sell a house makes or breaks the customer and affects the economy. It does.
Yeah.
So when the economy crashed in 2008, most of the agents did not know how to overcome the objections they were getting. So therefore, they were a big part of why it was crashing. The real estate market was crashing is because at that time, you remember 2006, right? 2007.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
The beginning of 2007.
Absolutely.
Everyone
yes.
called themselves a real estate agent. Everybody. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's like
yes.
walking out in the field and just picking apples. There's low-hanging fruit everywhere. But the ones who made money during the crash were the highly skilled professionals. And so the point of that real estate crash was to weed out all of the easy-breezy people that didn't have skill and help to rise up clients like mine, Tammy Watson, who lost it all in 2007. October 2008, she came. She learned everything we're talking about in here, studied, hit every single event. She was flat broke when she came, made $135,000.
Well, that
in the worst
awesome
real estate market. Yep.
So I had a partner, and we had our own franchise. We had our own brokerage. And during those years, we opened, I can't remember what year it was. We opened 07, and maybe it was a little bit before that. But every year, we absolutely grew and got bigger and better because we did mostly farms and ranches and very rural properties. And so we became very good at that. But now, so then we divided the brokerage into now I'm on my own. And it's exactly like you said, everybody is a broker out here or an agent.
Yep.
And the inner city sales are completely different from rural. However, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem getting the listings. My hurdle is negotiating because of the farms and ranches. And so I have a lot of people or clients that I can get the listings for, and they will price them really high. How do I create the urgency to execute? And most of my buyers are from out of town. A prime example, I just got off the phone with a seller, horse property, $899. I put it on social media the way you said to. I got tons of contacts from that, of people looking for that. I got people coming in from out of town, looking at it twice, brought his wife back. So now he's like, okay. But it takes so long. They do not write an offer when they come see it. They go back. They do their homework. They do their research. They're very educated business people on that price range. And
okay, so hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. So why are you not doing their homework for them?
Well, I am. They call
hold
me.
On,
like,
hold on. Hold on. Okay, Susan, first of all, I want to tell you how proud I am that you're a long-term veteran in real estate. And I think that's awesome. A woman who's made great money in real estate. You're a broker. You're a businesswoman. The question I have for you is, do you truly want to grow?
I do. That's why the brokerage that I left, where that we divided, that's why we split, because
okay,
my goals were different.
That
from
part
his.
Doesn't matter. Just listen to me. Do you truly want to grow? Yes or no?
Yes.
Do
absolutely.
You know what it requires to grow?
Yes, I think. First of all,
nope, hold on. Let me give this to you. What you know how to do, Susan, right now, is how to be where your current sales and market is right now. That's what you know. You don't know how to grow. So what I'm hearing, this is, and I'm going to challenge you here as one businesswoman to another, I respect you greatly. I'm assuming the respect is mutual, otherwise you wouldn't be in
yes,
the
it is, absolutely.
Okay. So
absolutely.
As one woman to another, as another businesswoman to another, to help stretch you as a coach, I'm going to tell you, you want to know what the key is to growing? Is forget everything you know.
Okay. I'm listening.
What, did you write that down?
Yes. Actually, I
want you to write this down. Forget everything you know. And act like you know nothing.
Okay.
I want you to have a reset, a restart, which means clear out your brain.
Okay.
And so when I ask you these questions, you're like, no, I know. No. You see, that's why you're stuck. It's because you know all the answers. Which means when you know all the answers, your mind is closed. You're going to lean to what you know because you want to be right, as all humans want to be right. So you're going to lean to what you know because we want to be right, but that doesn't solve the problem. the coming to a place of I know nothing. This is 2018. It's a different buyer out there. The buyer from 2008 is dead. They're gone, girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
They're gone.
Exactly.
Back in 2008, did you have all of these other sites that popped up that allowed the customer to ditch the MLS? And just from a simple
No.
little app, they can find properties on their own, both home for sale by owner and houses that were listed on MLS?
No.
Exactly. It's a different customer. It's time for you to learn who this customer is. It's time for you
okay.
to learn who the market is. It's time for you to ask a lot of questions and spend some time with these prospects. Because what I'm looking at is that you had 30 hours of work. Most of your time was not in making dials, which means somebody else is getting the prospects other than you.
Well,
there's someone else
I
is spending time doing that. Do you hear me? Again,
but
don't
who
answer
are they
question.
Calling? I
hold on.
Okay.
Remember, Susan, hold on.
I know
Susan,
nothing.
If you know that exactly. You got it.
I know nothing.
So, you're awesome. So this is why I ask you a question. Do you truly want to grow? Because if you truly want to grow, it means you have to forget the former things.
Okay. I'm ready to do that.
Okay. So what if you entered today's market as you did? How many years ago did you enter the real estate market?
12 years.
12 years. And you knew nothing 12 years ago, remember?
Exactly.
And because you did nothing, you learned.
And I'm still learning. I learned something
hold
new
on,
with...
Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. I want you to stop defending yourself, Susan.
Okay. I'm not trying to defend myself on this one. I was just...
But you really are. You're trying to prove to
okay.
me that you're learning. Even though I already know you are, you're in this class. You don't have to tell me that you're still learning. You don't have to tell me.
Okay. Okay.
So don't defend yourself.
Okay.
Just relax.
Okay.
Clear the brain. If
okay.
I knew nothing, what would I be pointing myself in the direction to learn? So here's what I can tell you. In the prospecting process, okay, it looks like you had 10 presentations, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what is going to set you apart? I know that's what blew your mind in the very beginning of this call when I'm working with the electrician. What?
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of competition, tons of it. People are buying
what
up properties left and right. What set you, that's the question. Don't answer me. But what's going to set you apart different than everyone else? What's going to make
are
it
you
that
asking
people
me?
Must? What's going to make it that people must do business with a real estate agent, because that's the equation that has changed. That's the equation that's changed. Is that we have become a do-it-yourself society because of the access to information that we have.
So I want to tell you this. This happened. So I went to a First Steps to Success back in June, I believe, in Cleveland, Ohio. Anyway, just this past week, I had a client call me or message me that I had showed property to last fall. And all of a sudden, I had showed them large ranches. I mean, and all of a sudden, they just disappeared, completely incognito, nothing. I mean, nothing, even though I called, left messages.
Hold on.
Okay.
Not, don't go just. Are you okay? Are you alive? I'm worried about
yes.
you. Everything
yes.
okay with your family? Forget the deal we're looking at. That means nothing.
Exactly.
Please just let me know that you did not drop dead or someone that you loved did.
Yes, that's exactly what I did. And I heard nothing. And so I was like, okay. Yesterday I get this call saying, hey, we're in the area. We noticed is the 590 acres that you have for sale still available? I'm like, absolutely. And so he messaged just a little bit throughout the day, and then in the evening I could tell he was obviously free, and he was doing everything via messaging. And so I just stayed with the messages, and I said, by the way, how's your family? How's your son? Did you ever find the school district you were looking at? I really enjoyed your family. How's your wife? Yada, yada, yada. And he's like, oh, my gosh, I just wanted to let you know that you are the – we decided last fall if we ever make up a mind where we're going to live, we are using you for our realtor. And so this is why we're calling you, because we found some land that we like and we need you to find it for us. And so I'm actually working with them. And the property that I showed him earlier, their buyers were from Texas, and he called me the other day. He called me for a concrete guy. He called me for because their dog died and his wife was devastated. He called me for all the different contacts in the community, and he said, I turned into friends. I baked them pies. And okay. So
good job.
I got
if they like pie, great. If they like pie. Baking them a pie is a good idea.
Okay, so let's stop. I turn into friends. I mean, all my clients that I have, I turn into personal friends, which is great, and I love that. But I feel – and they give me great referrals, and I have great listings. I don't know. I can't get them sold.
Can I tell you the problem?
Yes, please.
That you think – that you're great at everything. That's the problem.
And so how am I – so if I'm not great at anything, how can I still sell them?
Hold on. Okay. So, hold on. You had 10 showings. Mm-hmm. Have you listened to Rule the Real Estate Market?
And from you?
Yeah.
You know what? I did, and that was I did listen to it.
Because it tells you exactly how to limit the amount of showings that you're going to have, tells you exactly how to limit the amount of time, and to hit the bullseye.
But what if they just want to keep on looking? Hold on.
If they want to keep looking, then that means you're showing them what they're not looking for. That means you're not getting the proper information up front. That means you're not hearing them. That means that they're talking, but you're not hearing them. You're not understanding or fine-tuning as you're going so that you're hitting the jackpot. And you're not pre-closing them each step of the way. So it's this. I want to spend a little bit of time understanding, because some people say one thing, I hear one thing, and we might see completely different things. And I don't want to waste mm-hmm. your time, Mr. Smith. I want to make sure that we are able to find you exactly what you want, if it exists, in a short period of time so that you can get on to doing more important things than hunting around this area for a ranch.
Mm-hmm.
So when you sit down with them and you're hearing specifically what they want, if you don't have that inventory, then it's about now, okay, we sit back down and we say, tell me what you like about these, and let's prioritize what's most important. In a perfect world, this is what you wanted. In this current market, this is what we have available.
And then how do we overcome the cost objective?
Obviously you're not listening. You're obviously not listening, and you're showing them something that they cannot afford or that they do not want to pay that much money for. So that's what's going on. So you're making a friend but you're not interviewing the prospect to hit the bullseye. You remember I was saying that earlier to Lena, who's in the placement business?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what's going on is you are impressing people with your personality and making friends. Making form and finding their sign is not about you making friends. It's about finding their sign and what matters to them so you can serve them best. Like I said, I'm glad you make people pies. That is, of course, if they like pies. Because if you're making a pie for a diabetic, you said, I want to kill you.
No, they get a diabetic pie.
Do you understand what I'm saying? There's no such thing as a diabetic pie. Okay. So you are using, you know, some bit of Southern hospitality to get people to like you. But liking you is only going to get you so far. Hitting the bullseye, closing the deal, having the person be elated that the search is done and I got exactly what I wanted for the price that I wanted to pay. So if you're getting a cost objection because you're not hearing them, you're trying to sell them something they did not ask for.
Okay.
What a lot of agents do.
And I agree with that. So
it's
now
communication. Hold on. So it's about communication. It's about customization. It's about, after we've looked at a few properties, what did you like about what you just saw? What did you like about what you experienced? And if you've only listened to Rule the Real Estate Market once, girlfriend, you're missing out. You should be listening to that every single week. It shows you how to close deals.
Mm-hmm.
So if you listen to it once, then you assumed you already know how to close deals, but you're on this class because you can't. You're not closing at the
right. No, I know I don't know how.
Well, then you might want to listen to that CD again because it's specific on how to present those properties. It's specific how to narrow down exactly what that person is looking for the price they're looking for. And if that you cannot find it, it doesn't exist, then it's another conversation. And it's allowing them to tell you what their priorities are. It's allowing them to tell you what matters most and for what cost. All the way through, yes, you're being a friend, you're customizing things for them, sending them a thank you card. You are, I don't know if you were in San Diego. The San Diego First Steps was all about what real estate, all about construction, all about how to create an experience for that person who has bought that piece of land to where your name is what they're singing all day long and writing about you on Facebook and telling all their neighbors about you and telling their companies about you. Not because they like you, but because you helped their dream come true.
Exactly.
And you created the experience. You created the experience of their dream come true. That was San Diego. I don't know if you missed that event or not. But that
I did
was an
miss
event.
That event.
That sucks.
I know.
So
and
what
I
will tell you
I,
is I had somebody in the industry of where you come from increase in 4 weeks, $850,000. In 4 weeks. First Cardi, he's already at $2 million. Half of what he did all of last year. So you need to get back to Rule the Real Estate Market and listen to it. In there,
okay,
you're going to have these line of questions. You got to get the psychology because no prospect wants to waste time. None of them. Not a single one wants to waste time. The more research that we do, the more frustrated we get, the more confused we get. The reason why we're doing more research is because our needs are not being met. And we don't have somebody helping us to focus on what really are the highest priorities, number one. Number two, we don't have someone presenting the property to us according to what we want. See, imagine the barbecues you were telling me about where Johnny and Joey and their soccer team are sitting right here. Can you see the sunset coming right over the top of that ridge? Speaking to them on what matters to them, painting the picture, because guess what? Most human beings do not have that ability to stand on a piece of land and go, yep, this is it. I have to be reminded. I have to be able to imagine it. I have to be able to picture it. And someone's got to sell me that picture. My husband, rare guy. He can lick a piece of dirt and go, yep, bam, 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 bam. Okay? Real estate developers can look at 500 acres and go, yep, bam, bam, bam. I see 500 homes. Bam, over here, over here. I'm like, I look at that 500 acres and go, it's dirt. So the vast majority of the people that you're talking to need somebody to present their strengths, interests, goals, and needs. I'll tell you, I have a client who did this with us. He brought us to Prince Property right at dusk, right at sunset, that we wanted sunset views, had two camping chairs sitting out there, and a bottle of wine. Come on in, sit down. Shot us right in front of that view. Congratulations. This is where your dream home is going to sit. Boom!
Okay, now my question is, so I did that last weekend on my rant.
Hold on,
Mike.
Hold on. Hold on.
Okay.
You're out of questions. We're out of time.
I'm sorry.
Yes, it's okay. So you've got an assignment to do. I'd be going back and asking from a learning perspective, where did I screw this up? Not what I did right, because here you are again defending yourself, trying to tell me what you did right. I want you to press against what you think you did right to see if there's possibly room for growth. I want you to press against what you think you're good at, and I want you to find where you're not as good as you think you are and where you need to improve. How can you make it better?
How do I get them to write the offer? If that's the property they want and they verbally said that's the property they want, how do I get them to write the offer?
I think that's probably in the category of a dumb question. Have you ever gotten written an offer before?
Absolutely.
So why are you asking me that question? You know how to get an offer.
Because I can't. I do.
Yeah, you do. So
but
why are you asking me? Why are you asking me? How many offers have you written in the last 12 years?
A lot.
So why the hell are you asking me this question? It's borderline in the dumb question category, by the way, Susan.
Well, I understand that. But if they're telling me this is what I want, but I want to research this and I'm trying to convince my wife yet, so they're not ready to write an offer because he has several more factors that he has questions
Susan,
on.
Susan, I've already answered this question. Susan, I really hope that you want to grow. I really hope you want to grow.
Please don't tell me I'm
not
being teachable.
You're not being teachable. You are defending yourself for the last 25 minutes, so we're done. So the bottom line is, when you go back to listen to this conversation on the MP3, go back and listen to Rule the Real Estate Market. Follow the simple process that's in Rule the Real Estate Market because it's right there where we get them to write an offer. Ask yourself the question, what do I bring to the table that is more important than the research? What's going on is we are not listening to our prospects. So if you're not getting them to write the offer today, it's because you're not hearing them. They're feeling like they have to do more research because you're not answering them. You're not answering their need. You're not nailing it for them. You're just trying to close the deal. So in each showing, you're narrowing it down to the bullseye. Each showing, what did you like about what you just saw? Tell me more about that. So is this the place where you want to repeat their dream, their vision? Would you like to go the fast or the slow way to being in this property and building this ranch and being a part of this dream? Fast, great. Here you go. Welcome aboard. Congratulations. Let's start your process.
I go all the way up to the fast or the slow part.
And their answer is?
I never can get myself to ask that. I can never get myself to ask that. I don't think I'm asking for the clothes. I can do everything, but I think I am scared of the clothes.
I freak out and I don't ask for the clothes.
Well, then I guess you have your answer. And you're hurting your prospect from filling their dream because you are afraid. So that's on you. You got to own that and ask that question. Now, if people have questions and they want to understand this or that, and by the way, if you're afraid to ask the close, they are certainly afraid to do business with you. And that's when you're going to provoke objections. If you're afraid to ask for the offer, they are certainly afraid to sign the dotted line with you. They can feel that you're afraid. So they're going to go research somebody else that's not afraid. Go listen to the real estate. Will the real estate market. You got this, girl.
I will.
You got shooken up. You got shooken up with the division of the partnership. It's a new market. You thought it was going to be different. It's time to learn. It's time to really zero in on the needs of that prospect. It's time to ask yourself, what can I bring to the table that's different than every other real estate agent? You're afraid of the competition that's out there. You're carrying that into your presentations. People need help making a decision, especially on an $800,000 purchase. For sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
I agree. And everything that you just now said is so true. So how do I, with my
just
words.
Ask for it. Just ask for it. Just ask for it. Now, when they say, you know, what did you like about it? And they say, you know, I like this, but I don't really like this. Great. I'm going to write this down. Okay, so if I hear you right, you're saying that if we can find a property that's X, Y, and Z, then you're ready to move forward so that you can and repeat their strengths, interests, goals, and needs. They say, yes, great. Come to this address. I think we found your place.
Okay.
Okay, you got your homework. Listen, you got shooken up. Because of the change. You got this?
I did.
It's time to go back to learning. It's time to go back to assuming you know nothing. It's time to stop building your confidence on your past successes and your current ones.
Absolutely. I 100%
okay.
agree with that.
There's nothing to be afraid of. When you're learning, you're humble. So there's no fear where there's humility. There is only fear where there is pride. There's no fear in humility. So you got this. You've written hundreds of orders. I mean, not offers. Sorry. You said loads and loads of offers. You got this.
I have.
You got this. You got this.
I do.
I can't wait for you to listen to the entire call of today. All over again.
I can't either. I'm excited.
Because the entire thing, because everything applied to your industry. 100%.
It did. 100%.
Yep. 100%.
Absolutely.
It applied.
Thank you so much. I am
you're
so
grateful. Welcome. God bless you, lady.
Thank you.
So,
you too.
Yes.
By the way, I also have 5 boys.
Oh, gosh. How awesome. That's awesome. Okay, Shane, let's go ahead and have our sweet Susan. Yes, I'm excited. Okay, guys, well, that's it for today. We're about 5 minutes after. Tonight, you're getting the email from us alerting you what your homework assignment, telling you what your homework assignment is. You've got to turn it in by Sunday at midnight. Don't make that late, please. It gives us enough time to collect the data and get it finished off to me for next Tuesday. Next Tuesday, we pick back up for prospecting, and I think that's our third. Yeah, it'll be our third prospecting class. Come on, let's focus on getting those dials in and up and fearlessly moving ourselves ahead. I promise you, if you're focusing on your sprouts, your progress, the areas that you're wanting to improve, you're going to have more of those areas improving, all right? So let's open up the phone lines and say goodbye and God bless.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye.
God bless.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. God bless all of you.
Bye.
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 Thank you.
Bye.